fighting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
There's a story that's circulating, you may have heard it by now, of a six-year-old who was given permission by her mom to go onto Amazon and buy a Barbie doll, which she did, and then later on was given permission to get on her mom's phone and check the status of the shipment. Seems pretty cut and dried. But apparently when she used the phone to go on and check the status of the shipment, she ended up buying hundreds of dollars worth of other stuff without mom knowing, supposedly, until the truck showed up with all the stuff. Here's the chat that they had with the media.
I let her get on, and then I left, and I wasn't really paying attention, and she got on and ordered close to $400 worth of items. Mostly Barbies and a few dolls and a pony and a accessories. All our family came home, and the truck pulls up, and all these boxes are getting pulled out of the truck.
I love Amazon.
I don't know. First of all, mom doesn't sound that upset about it.
Right.
Second of all, it almost sounds like an ad for Amazon. Look how easy it is to buy stuff. And then the kid even has their own tagline. I love Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know.
And your parents
Yahoo!
Are going to be.
It's like it's a new tag that they're going to run on all their commercials. I don't know. The cool thing about it was apparently they then took the things that she bought without permission and donated them to a children's hospital there where they are. I think they're in Utah or something.
The family did that or Amazon did that?
I think the family did that.
I don't know. I feel like maybe they got their money back and then donated.
Now, I don't know how often this is a thing, but Marie is on the line, and I have to hear this story. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through. Hey, Marie.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing really well. I'm fascinated by what Cool Beans has typed in. Go ahead and tell us the story here.
Well, I get this call from the bank asking me to authorize a recent purchase for a suit of armor. And I'm like,
now,
what?
Hang on. It sounded like you said authorize a purchase for a suit of armor.
Yes.
And okay.
All right.
Yeah, like, tell me more. Well, at that point,
well,
she probably doesn't
like,
know.
I'm like, did somebody get a hold of my credit card? I was like, I have the bank shut off my credit card. And I go home and I tell my son, I says, the dangest thing happened. Bank called me and wanted to authorize a suit of armor for $3,000. And I said, oh, heck no.
Hang on.
No way.
It sounded like you said $3,000.
Yes, 3K. Yes, $3,000 for a suit of armor, a real suit of armor. And I tell my son this. He goes, well, I ordered that, Mom.
How old?
He was 12 at the time.
So old enough, certainly, to know better.
Well, I mean, he was, like, wanting things. We were kind of, like, going through a divorce and everything, and he was missing out on stuff, and I felt bad. But, you know, I told him he could get something, but not a suit of armor.
I see. Misunderstanding between you and the 12-year-old.
Like, maybe a football or...
Right, some sort of...
$3,000.
$3,000 for a suit of armor.
Had he not gone through math yet, or he just thought that you'd be okay with a $3,000?
Wow.
He's a guy. But guys, you know, he started getting interested in girls, and
he thought the suit of armor would help.
Just not, and he wanted to go parading around in the neighborhood with a suit of armor, like that's going to be really attractive.
Good. That's right, Chelsea. You know how hot that is.
Yep, get the girls every time.
Well, thank you for that, Marie.
Thank you. I see that in
my
future.
Thank you.
Yeah, I see it in your future too, Chelsea. Absolutely.
844-4WW-SHOW. Apparently, there are more situations like that than I would have imagined. Because honestly, It seems unlikely to me that that scenario would unfold, but I guess it is so easy now, especially online, obviously, to place an order and have it at least get to the level that it got with Marie. Now, it didn't show up like it did with this other woman where these packages actually showed up.
$3,000
because,
is a lot
different. You know, there is a warning usually that you've got packages coming. Usually an email says, hey, they're on their way or something like that.
Or you get text notifications. Amazon has the one-click thing, which I wonder if it's just to get people to accidentally purchase more stuff.
It does. When I saw that was an option, I really had to think about it before I decided to try and do it because I don't even trust myself.
I don't either. That. Like, I'm too antsy. I'm going to accidentally send something to myself.
Right. Either going to get excited and you're going to buy something and you're going to think, oh, that was impulsive. Or you're just going to accidentally click on something and you're going to be like, wow, how did I buy that?
Tony has got something for us. Tony, what's up?
Hey, guys. So I had my credit card stored on my husband's Xbox One for his live account. And my son was using his account to play Fortnite. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Fortnite.
But sure.
Apparently it's all the rage for 10 and 11-year-olds and some older kids. So we were on our way to Carowinds, and we stopped for gas, and I just happened to just randomly check my bank account, like you do, and I saw that there was almost $300 worth of charges to Xbox. So he had, like, ordered, like, hundreds of dollars worth of, like, upgrades in Fortnite, and I had to call Xbox and explain the situation, and luckily they reversed the charges. And I eventually had to take my credit card off the Xbox and, like, create his own account, which took me like half a day to figure out how to do.
He would just do it.
He would just randomly buy like $10 worth of like Fortnite bucks, and I was like, really? Like, we haven't had this conversation.
How old was he?
Just turned 11, so this has been in the past year, and it's happened several times.
Tony, we appreciate the call. Thanks.
You're welcome. I just wanted to let you know that I jumped ship from another morning show to listen to you guys, and you're so much better, and I'm so glad that I did. So,
what?
Are you sure you're listening to the right show?
Yeah, I listened to another show in Raleigh that's been on the air for over 25 years, and eventually it just got old, and I found you guys when you were on 95.3, and I've been listening probably for the past 2 years, and I listen to your podcast because I'm a mobile groomer, so sometimes I can't hear the radio in the back, and so I listen to old shows, and I think you guys are just awesome and hilarious, and you're like on point with what's going on.
Is this my mom?
Whoever is paying you, money well spent.
Cool beans, I don't want this call to end.
Right. Yes.
You get Tony's, you hang on the phone, Tony. We're going to talk for hours.
Well, Tony, that's very nice of you, and it's going to be fun until our show gets old, too.
Hopefully it'll be 25 years.
We won't make it nearly that long.
That's right.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really? That's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times in all my years in the theater. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Well, Friday, right? I mean, come on. Speaking of the kids spending your money without you knowing it, we just heard that there in the replay. And thanks to everybody who chimes in after the show, you know, social media or on our voicemail or whatever. We got this on our voicemail that's known as the Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200.
Morning, guys. Yesterday you were talking about kids spending money without your permission or knowledge. My son, 9 years old, also spent money on Fortnite. He was allowed to spend $10 of his money, use my credit card to do it. And unbeknownst to me, the credit card information was saved to their website. And over the course of the next couple of weeks, he spent $540. And when I emailed their customer service people to get the charges reversed, they were the most condescending people I have ever had the displeasure of having to deal with. On another note, you were talking about the Craigslist ad for Dixmeth batteries. I grew up in New Zealand, and we had Dixmeth electronics there as well, kind of like a Radio Shack almost. And you might be interested to know their slogan was "Where everything connects."
Hmm. Well, first of all, A, appreciate all the info, and I didn't know, you know, we knew Woody used to be a Dick Smith, but I didn't know that it was a store.
It's never a Dick Smith.
I don't get the, was that a joke at the end? I'm not sure it was. Did I miss it? Maybe
no.
It was just me.
In the Craigslist ad, it talks about the vintage batteries being from Australia.
Yeah.
Dick Smith is or New Zealand or whatever. Big,
yeah, right.
In that
mm-hmm.
area.
Where everything connects, I think, was just sort of that Dick joke.
Yeah. No, I think that's really their slogan.
Yeah, I know, but they, an intentional sort of Dick joke on their part.
Which everything would be
connects.
Great.
It's early. I still don't get it, but I mean, it must be funny. I either way, I appreciate the.
Usually, when you're connecting with your partner, you would connect at one particular point.
Okay, I don't know. I feel like that's a loose connection at best.
Well, let's review it at the end of the show.
All right,
we'll go over the birds and bees with Wilcox.
I still don't. All right. So you can always ring in there on the voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200. And, you know, famous newsman Chuck Diapers, we periodically like to. He is nice enough oftentimes to call in and give us a reason to not go to work because there's some huge thing that's being celebrated on this particular day, whether it's a birthday or an anniversary. And he called in and I guess initially was going to do just that. But then I believe he got into a couple of things, including an imitation of somebody on our show.
Good morning, guys. Listen, we were going to be celebrating Robert De Niro's birthday, and I was going to do a terrible Robert De Niro impersonation for the day off today, but now we have a different reason. Did you see there was a shooting over an argument about Aretha Franklin? Stand by. That's right. A man is in critical condition because of an argument about Aretha Franklin! And, I think we just need to take a day. Just take a couple plays off.
I feel like he maybe was doing a Wilcox impression.
He was definitely. Six tons of porn.
Yeah, he definitely was.
Yeah.
It's not just the 6 tons of porn. I mean, there have been plenty of times, I think, where I've emphasized a point by getting up into that upper range of my incredible vocal talents.
Well, I feel like if there was a deadly argument over Aretha Franklin, then you should get up in that vocal range.
Agreed. Thank you, Chelsea. So it would be warranted.
Yes.
And by the way, I didn't hear about that until he mentioned that. And then I looked it up and he's 100% right. I mean,
somebody tweeted us last night is when I heard about it.
A man in Virginia was shot yesterday morning after a verbal argument about Aretha Franklin turned physical. Now, of course, we know, sadly, Aretha Franklin passed on, and I think that became official after our show yesterday. But, I mean, this mirrors the exact situation that Tom Segura made fun of.
I know.
With his video about James Brown, where two guys shot one another in an argument over James Brown.
Right.
And I'm starting to do it again, and I'm not even thinking about it.
Mooks last night tweeted at Woody and Wilcox, get Tom Segura on the phone, and sent a link. And I was like, what does he mean? And then I clicked on it and my jaw hit the floor.
Here's the further info. This is not made up. A witness told the local CBS affiliate that he'd heard two men arguing over whether Oscar winner Halle Berry had ever played Aretha Franklin in a movie. And things took a violent turn.
Yeah.
Both men received medical treatment and were taken to a local hospital where one of the men who was shot remains in serious condition. I don't know if that's changed overnight. I don't know if one of them has sadly passed on. But if you're not familiar with what we're talking about with Tom Segura, I did just retweet that video. Tom Segura, a hilarious stand-up comic who a while back was doing recreations of news stories in video form. And he did a short film based on a true story of two guys who shot one another over an argument about how tall James Brown was. Not made up.
Words.
Not made up.
I know. Yeah.
Again, I just retweeted Tom Segura's video. It is, I mean, if you haven't seen that yet, or even if you have,
we'll have to do a new one.
How hilarious is that? And this is almost identical to that years and years later. I'm without speech. So there's that for you. There's a lot to get to today, and we're just scratching the surface. We've probably already gone on too long, I'm sure, for many of you. We have a new batch of Fun with Golf audio on the show today. If all goes as planned, one of our favorites, comedian and all-around genius, Bob Saget, will join us in studio in about, I guess, about a couple of hours from now, if things go as planned. And a lot more. So we've got an It Happened in Florida on the way. I've got a chat coming up next. I'm going to have an audio quiz for both you and Woody, Chelsea, and for those listening as well at home. You can play along. You have my permission. We'll get into that and more coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now it's time for the Chat Report. Stuff happening around.
Yeah, the G is silent.
Beep, 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 beep. On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Did I mention that two guys shot one another in an argument over Aretha Franklin yesterday? Did we cover that yet? Did I mention that up top?
We should bring it up often.
An argument over whether Halle Berry played Aretha Franklin in a movie, which for me makes it even more ridiculous.
I mean, you heard the news that she passed away, Aretha Franklin did, and then it's just, I mean, you couldn't have written a stranger and a more fitting tribute to comedian Tom Segura's thing about James Brown, which, by the way, that video's up there at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter. But yeah, that's true. So not only did two guys shoot one another in an argument over whether Halle Berry played Aretha Franklin, and I guess this was due to Aretha dying yesterday. I mean, I can't imagine why else it would have come up. But then again, I can't imagine two guys shooting each other in an argument over that. So who knows? Did you see the other sort of ha-ha controversial thing that happened in the wake of Aretha sadly passing on? That Fox News incorrectly put up a photo of Patti LaBelle and RIP'd Aretha on that as a graphic?
Oh, no.
That's too bad, right?
Well, yeah. They were not fans of one another, so awkward.
Well, I mean, I don't know that the fact that they weren't fans of one another changes it at all, to be honest with you.
If you were going to pick anybody, that would be the worst.
Splitting hairs. Don't think it matters in this case.
Have you seen what Twitter has done with it, though?
Well, so here's what they did. They did this thing, and they put up, the graphic said, Aretha Franklin, 1942 to 2018, and then there was a photo. And the photo was Patti LaBelle. And so Twitter, yes. I mean, well, I saw a little bit. I saw people obviously then posting other RIPs to Aretha Franklin with even more ridiculous photos.
I saw,
like, Taylor Swift was in one of them. RIP Aretha.
Right.
You know, oh, I guess that's not Aretha, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that was a good time, obviously. What else? There was something else along those lines that I wanted to mention, and now I can't think of it. That's unfortunate. I will say this. I guess we need to be a little bit more careful on the show because, believe it or not, some of the things that we say have an effect on people. I know that seems hard to imagine, but that was proven yesterday when we got this message on our voicemail known as the Fez line.
So your show almost got me in trouble again. Went to a class for work, and just a big classroom, like 40 of us sitting there, guy teaching about positive associate relations, whatever, some nonsense. And so he's trying to tell a little bit about himself. He's like, my name's Chris. I'm from Pittsburgh, and big Steelers fan. Anybody else a Steelers fan in here? And everybody was quiet. Nobody raised their hand or anything. I gave it a couple seconds, and I was like, I guess I forgot what environment I was in, and slipped up and was like, I'm a big fan of Cooch. I hear they're big fans of Cooch in Pittsburgh. And he kind of paused, looked at me, he's like, excuse me? Said, crap. The golfer from Pittsburgh, his last name is Kutcher. They call him Cooch. You a fan of him? I'll watch a lot of golf. Sure. Yeah. So we kind of brushed that off and kept moving along with the class. That was interesting. Anyway, Woody's an idiot.
They love their cooch here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yes, cooch. Right, exactly.
That's so, a cooch.
Yep, that's something that
cooch.
You just want to be careful with, I guess, is the only way.
Cooch.
I would, right, exactly, that I would phrase that.
They love their cooch
right
here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know the other thing that I was going to mention to you. I said I was going to quiz you guys. You guys should have reminded me of that. Remember, I forget everything.
Well, from we're not going to
literally try. Minute to minute.
We're not going to be that one guy who reminds the teacher of a quiz. Everybody hates that guy.
I wish you would. Can you tell me who this was singing the national anthem at a professional baseball game last night? Anybody recognize?
I do, so I'm going to recuse myself. Woody?
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
Really?
Trying to think.
Is he singing national anthems?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like trying to place the voice.
Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr., I'm going to say, is a bad guess, although I'm not sure you would have gotten Bob Saget, because that is the correct answer.
Well, he crushed it.
That's Bob Saget singing the national anthem at the Charlotte Knights game last night.
For the land of the free.
Impressive, right?
Totally impressive. Yeah.
So, again, if all goes as planned, he'll be joining us in studio here. We'll probably spend just about an hour singing.
Fun. Do we have other national anthems that he can sing?
He's going to sing the Czech national anthem.
Yes.
And then he'll do some stuff in Mandarin. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a new batch of Fun with Golf audio, by the way, coming up here in a bit. And on the way next, we're all going to feel a little bit better after a round of It Happened in Florida.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We've got three stories that we're going to share with you here real quick. All of them are true, but one of them happened in the troubled state of Florida. And it's real simple. You just have to spot that Florida story. That's it. It's a celebration of the consistent crazy that Florida brings to our lives. So if you can spot it, 844-4WW-SHOW. Woody's got story number one.
How much do you love going to the public library?
I love libraries.
Yeah, but really just the experience of being in the building.
I like public libraries.
You do? Good. Well, so does the dude in story number one. Chelsea, since you love the library so much, how many times have you thought, man, I love this library? I really want to see what people going to the bathroom look like at this public library.
Never. That's not what interests me.
It's not?
No.
Periodicals more your thing?
Yes.
Or nonfiction? I bring it up because a dude has been arrested for videotaping people as they use the restroom at this particular public library. Now, we've heard the stories before where people were setting up cameras and stuff like that. He's not that technical. He was literally in the stall next to somebody and would wait and then put his cell phone over the divider and would take video because he loves the public library more than you do, Chelsea.
I feel like that has nothing to do with the public library, actually.
Right, I concur. There are bathrooms everywhere.
When he was spotted, he ran out. The good news is he was apprehended. Was it in Florida where he's like, I love this library so much, I want to video people going to the bathroom here?
Story number two, I think, maybe a little bit more relatable, and that is you've got a neighbor who has a dog, and God love him, the dog will not stop barking. I mean, day and night, dog barking. Yap, yap, yap. And you live next to him.
Brutal.
What's your recourse as the next door neighbor? What do you do?
Kidnap the dog, take him to a different family.
How dare you? That is illegal, Chelsea. Give me another answer.
Contact the authorities.
Contact the authorities. The barking police?
I don't think 911 handles that.
Who
nuisance
handles
dogs?
That? I don't think I can accept that per se. I'm surprised you didn't get this. She took the obvious way out. She played the same song over and over again on a loop for 16 years. In honor of Chuck Diapers, same song on a loop for
16 years.
You mean 16 like days?
I mean 16 years.
How many lives has this dog had? You think the dog would be dead by then?
How many dogs are we talking about?
I assume one. I don't have any further details about the bloodlines of the dog. I only know it because obviously the woman has gotten into trouble. You know what they say? Play a song on a loop over and over again for 15 years in the clear. 16 year, you're going to jail.
That doesn't rhyme.
Well, I don't think they say that. Say it. It doesn't sound smooth, but they do say it.
Wouldn't that annoy her more than the dog barking?
Unless you really love that piece of music.
She must love it, Chelsea.
No, no one loves anything that much.
She, by the way, faces up to 6 months in jail.
How did it take 16 years? I have so many questions.
Like Chelsea, she probably could just use the break. So I would accept the jail time and just move on.
Did you hear the song that she was playing over and over again?
I want you to love me when I feel it down. I want you above me.
What?
Na-na-na-na-na. Okay, why would you even be upset about that?
No, I could listen to that for 16 years.
Sounds like Chelsea. Is it Florida where the woman played an opera song for 16 years straight, you know, to cover up the dog barking next door? Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with the cops in a little bit of hot water after they used a taser on an 87-year-old woman. Mm. Why do you think they would use a taser on an 87-year-old?
Would not stop knitting day and night. Oh, the clinking of the knees.
That's actually a fantastic guess.
But that's not an aggressive towards the cops movement knitting.
Yeah, but after a while, come on, enough with the knitting.
Hitting them with her purse.
She was cutting dandelions with a steak knife. That's what I was looking for. Three police officers arrived on the scene when people were afraid that the woman was going to hurt herself. They called the cops. She stood up and started walking towards them with a steak knife, and that's when they tasered her. Her son's a little bit upset, as I think you would be as well, when they said, hang on a second, she's an 87-year-old woman, you're three cops. And they're like, look, we had no other recourse. He's like, if you're a cop and you can't handle an 87-year-old woman and there's three of you, it's time to hang up your badge.
Well, I've seen some 87-year-old women who are pretty, you know, agile.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, there have been some movies. Let's put it that way.
Oh, gosh. No.
Flexible, too?
Stop.
Dale, all three stories actually happened. One of them went down in the Plywood State. Can you tell us which one?
Sure, I don't think they have libraries in Florida, so I'd have to go with cancel that one out. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to cut weed with a steak knife, that might be you.
You're going to go with story number three on that one? No, I'm sorry. The lovely state of Georgia is where the cops are in some hot water. Chatsworth, Georgia, you know where that is?
Vaguely.
Just north of Atlanta is where that is. Three officers who couldn't handle an 87-year-old woman, and Wilcox is like, been there, seen that movie, ruined it. Alan, 50-50 shot.
I'm going to go story number one.
Number one, yes.
So they do have libraries in Florida.
They do have libraries in Florida. The West Oaks Library is where a man was like, I love it here. I wonder what people going to the bathroom look like. I know, I'll videotape them.
And so not in this country. Is where the woman was playing a song over and over again for 16 years. Woody theorized what the song might be. You were obviously incorrect. It was this.
Our anus is a useful thing indeed. The anus gives relief in time of need. We all have an anus, so no matter what you've heard, remember that anus is the proper word.
I wouldn't even be upset. I'd be impressed, honestly.
That increases property values.
Slovakia is where it went down. And obviously, it wasn't that song, clearly. It was this.
Hooray, hooray, hooray! Hooray, hooray, hooray!
Wow. All you children gather around, listen to the happy sound. Noises here and noises there, happy noises everywhere.
Oh, a pig goes and a cow goes.
A railroad train goes.
A duck goes.
Do you remember when you put that together?
I do. That's like 12 to 15 years old.
Yes.
I can't remember the last time we played that. That was Woody editing at its finest right there. I'm going to take an old kid's song and put farty noises in it. Cap it with a puke. She was actually playing opera is the correct answer.
It's about the same thing.
Placido Domingo is who never, by the way, that I'm aware of, sang a song about your anus. So we've got a new batch of fun with golf audio. We'll kick that off for you next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I want to direct your attention to the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, a video that I have just posted up there on how awesome kids can be. We're all parents here on the show. Wilcox got a couple of kids. I have twins. Chelsea has a young son. You ever take cute video of your young son, Chelsea? And you just go, oh, this is one of the most precious moments ever.
Maybe before he could speak and demand things.
Well, that's what a mom did.
So you're saying he doesn't do cute things anymore? Is that what you're saying?
He does do cute things.
I bring it up because there's a kid who is sending daddy off to work, and mom is videotaping it because I'm not sure exactly what this kid thinks that his dad does at work, but I believe that the kid thinks his dad is a fart machine at work. Listen to this.
You be a good fart machine today. Somebody be a good
fart machine. Don't go to work and be a good fart machine at work.
That's what I do all day. That's my job.
Okay, I'll be a good fart machine. All right.
So this kid loves his dad, and he loves farts. What? And then he realizes, wait, I forgot something.
I didn't say I love my dad. I love my dad.
So his dad is already out in the driveway, and this kid is having a panic attack because he forgot to say, I love you, Dad, and goes running out.
Dad!
He's out in the front yard.
Aww.
So then he's like, and I love that water. The emotional roller coaster of having a young child. He's like, I'd be a good fart machine. And then the panic of, I love my dad, running out into the parking lot. It'll melt your heart. The video is up only one place on the internet.
Do we know anything more about, though, why his dad is a fart machine?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I feel like there's so many unanswered questions to this movie.
I totally agree.
Where's the plot line going, for crying out loud?
That's never stopped Hollywood from putting out a movie.
I just tweeted it out, too. So at Woody and Wilcox is the way that you can follow along there as well.
Yeah, make sure to tell your dad that you love him and to be a good fart machine at work.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
It was just a couple of days ago, wasn't it, Wilcox, that you were telling us how Southwest Airlines revised their emotional support animal policy?
Well, yes, they were the most recent. A lot of the airlines have been, over the course of the last 6 months to a year, making sure that they've clarified what the rules are about animals that you can bring on the plane.
That's why.
Whether it's a service animal or an emotional support animal.
Right.
And they've really tried to eliminate some of the more exotic animals that people have been trying to bring on as an emotional support animal.
Chelsea, do you remember what kicked this all off? There was one event that I remember in my head. We talked about it here on the show and was like, what? And then suddenly the airlines started to come out with detailed lists of this is what you can bring on board and this is what you can't.
Most of them, and if I recall right with Southwest this week, they've basically said cats, dogs, and they, a little bit different, Southwest, will allow miniature horses.
Correct. Right. The other airlines say no hooves.
I think that's right. I believe the others have eliminated hooves. That's right, tusks.
Yes. No narwhals.
There were some interesting, odd sort of regulations. Well, not that having tusks isn't, well, you know what I'm saying.
I bring it up because the tipping point in my head was when somebody tried to bring an emotional support peacock on a flight. You remember that story when we talked about it? The emotional support peacock was going to be brought on board a flight back in January. And this was in L.A., and the airline was like, nope. you are not bringing an emotional support peacock online. A peacock's name is Dexter, by the way. The reason we know about this is Dexter's owner on Instagram has reported that Dexter the peacock, sadly, is no longer with us. His passing was sudden and unexpected. Attempts were made to save him, but his doctor confirmed that nothing could be done to alter Dexter's fate. And then it gets a little bit interesting because this guy is on Instagram, goes as Dexter the Peacock, if you'd like to follow.
Oh, Dexter has his own profile.
I guess it's a woman who did this, but she is a performance artist. That's her profession. And it got me to think, hang on a second, was trying to bring an emotional support peacock all a performance art piece? And we just all didn't understand because nobody understands performance art.
This is you asking that question?
This is my belief. Once I learned that, sadly, Dexter is no longer with us and Dexter's owner is a performance artist, I go, this is all a bit. This was all just a thing, and it's changed so many people's lives. It altered the way businesses were run. They had to come out with no tusk rules and no narwhals and no miniature horses because you wanted to have a laugh or you wanted to do this art piece. And I don't know what the hell's going on, but there's a peacock named Dexter that's no longer with us. And you altered the fabric of America because of it.
But this is all your theory in your head.
Yes. And it's right.
Does it matter?
That they change the rules at every airline? Does it matter?
I mean, do you want somebody trying to bring a narwhal on a plane?
Yes!
No. I don't know if it's about what he wants, but I will say, either way, I think maybe there ought to be a new segment where just, you know, once a morning, you give obituary reports on peacocks. I think that'd be a fun segment.
Yeah. You think so?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dexter the Peacock and the Queen of Soul no longer with us.
Okay, I don't know that the two should be lumped in together. I feel like somehow that's disrespectful to one of them. Speaking of that, Aretha Franklin, of course, the Queen of Soul. We did find out, I think it was official after the show yesterday, that she passed away. I don't know if you saw one of the news stories. There were several interesting things that transpired after it was announced that Aretha Franklin had passed away, unfortunately. One of them was one of the stranger things I've ever heard. And I feel like that's saying a lot. If you've listened to our show much, there's a lot of strange things that get talked about. I want to share that with you, and we'll do that coming up next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So after the show yesterday is when I think the news became official that Aretha Franklin sadly had passed away. And we had heard that she had been ill. I think that started over the weekend, maybe. I can't remember when. But anyway, she was not doing well and then officially passed away yesterday. What I thought was the shocking part of that scenario was the headline that I'm about to share with you that says, quote, Virginia man shot after argument over Aretha Franklin. So Aretha Franklin passes away, and then, apparently, and I'm quoting from the story, a man in Suffolk, Virginia was shot yesterday morning after a verbal argument about Aretha Franklin turned physical. Now you're saying, I don't even understand what you're saying. What do you mean? Well, Aretha Franklin passes away. I'm sure motorists and people at the grocery store are swapping Aretha Franklin stories. You remember when she played here? Oh, I was there. Those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently two guys somehow, I don't know if they were strangers or if they knew each other. I don't know that we have that information prior.
You think they were just walking down the street and they're like, I want to argue about.
I don't know. What makes you think they were friends? They shot one another, for crying out loud. Let me finish. The two men were arguing over whether Halle Berry had ever played Aretha Franklin in a movie. So you feel like that couldn't have happened among strangers? They had to be friends? What is your hypothesis?
Well, yes, because I don't think there was a guy walking down the street going,
Halle Berry never played Aretha Franklin in a movie, and he
I don't think you have to be marching rhythmically. I feel like it could have just come up in passing.
But I mean, doesn't Google solve this?
That's what, Chelsea, great point. Great point that I was just going to say. If this would have happened 20 years ago, before the internet age, or
please don't
IMDb,
say it would have seemed right or normal.
No. It would have been more plausible than, because there would be no way to verify, and that would have heightened tensions. This could have been solved by...
Look, I don't want to offend anyone, but I'm going to throw this out there. I feel like a couple of guys who would shoot one another over an argument about whether Halle Berry played Aretha Franklin in a movie might not take the time to Google anything like that.
But you're going to take the time to get your handgun out? It takes the same amount of time.
This is America, my friend.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
What are you talking about? So that's not made up. That's a real thing. I don't know whether they were friends or whether they were strangers. That remains to be seen, unless you've seen that in another article somewhere. So do the due diligence on that. And what also hit me was how eerily similar it is to one of our favorite things. Comedian Tom Segura, who had done years ago a video about another true story in the news where two guys had shot one another arguing about how tall James Brown is. That's a real thing, too.
That's right.
Tom Segura, who's hilarious, by the way, if you're not familiar with him, had at one point, and when he was in here, we talked about this. He thought, you know, I'm going to do a series of videos where I take a news story that's, you know, real out there in the news and do a how I imagine it must have played out video. And it's top notch. The one about James Brown. It's very well done. Like, the production quality is really good. I tweeted that out earlier. So if you're not familiar with the two guys arguing about James Brown and killing one another, because that is what happened in that story, we tweeted out Segura's video of that. It's really funny. But this is almost identical, except, at least for now, the two guys are not dead. I think they both died in the James Brown story. Oh. They shot one another and both died. Sorry, both. So, but I mean, how similar? Plus, James Brown and Aretha Franklin, sort of same era. What is it about that era somehow that is affecting people to the point of violence?
Are there other
violence?
Motown singers? Was Aretha Franklin Motown?
No, I don't think so. She was in Detroit, so I don't know.
Are people going to be blasting each other over Smokey Robinson or whether or not Stevie Wonder's blind?
Don't start that.
Right.
Stop it.
Don't encourage
that.
Violence.
Stop
over
it with
ridiculousness.
Because he's not blind. I'm just going to say. But there's people out there who would argue that he is, and that's going to lead to gunplay.
There's people out there that would argue that he is what you just said.
That's right.
All right. Simmer down. By the way, and we didn't even get a chance to mention that Fox News put up an RIP Aretha Franklin and put a picture of Patti LaBelle up. That's not, we didn't even get to that. And I don't know how much bloodshed came about from that.
Right.
But I do know some of the Twitter response was hilarious. People posting, obviously, people who are not Aretha Franklin and putting RIP next to it.
Right.
So, you know, maybe too soon. I don't know. But it's out there nonetheless.
It's never too soon. When the news screws up, you got to jump on it.
I guess so. I guess that's true. Speaking of huge icons, Bob Saget is going to join us in studio probably about 20 minutes or so from now. And there's so much to get into with Bob, including I just read that he's directing a movie about the life of another comedian. And I hadn't heard this. I think Bob was just on. I feel like he was on like 10 months ago with us. So we'll find out more about that, and I'll share some of that info with you, too. So stand by. Oh, we've got a new batch of Fun with Golf audio. We're going to do that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So that music means it's time for what we call Fun with Golf audio. This is where we take stuff out of context and just pull the audio right there out of the broadcast of the golf tournament. And we noticed, obviously, years ago that it sounds a little dirty when you do that. So we point and giggle like eighth graders. Here is our all-new batch, by the way, Fun with Golf audio.
And that is how he wants to be remembered. Jimmy and everybody, he lights up a room. He's a big fella, a big unit, and just a fun-loving guy that we all love so much.
That wasn't like a thing after someone had died, was it?
Yes. Yeah. When they say that's the way he wanted to be remembered, that typically means he's dead.
Why would they mention the size of his unit?
It
That's what he wanted.
He wants to be remembered. Jimmy and everybody, he is just, he lights up a room. He's a big fella, a big unit, and just a fun-loving guy that we all love so much.
I think he's dead. He's being spoken about in the first person.
Well, I want that when I die.
No.
Really, I want you to do the eulogy, Woody. And I want it all to be about my unit.
He could be going with a semi-explosion. He could be trying to get relief from a sprinkler head.
You know who I bet has gotten relief from a sprinkler head? Bob Saget. We can ask him about that.
Trevor, you had the touch on Daly's trousers yesterday. What are you thinking?
I like it. I really like it.
Talking about a dude's pants.
Ian coming in to take a good look at how this finishes. A little taste doesn't hurt either.
So the crowd has an audible reaction to him talking about tasting the release.
You have to be able to see it going in and be comfortable. And if you look at the hole and go, what's my intention? Hopefully you're saying, well, I want to hit this lip and knock it in. Mm-hmm. I used to visualize it going in and where it was going to enter the hole.
Is Ian Baker Finch trying to, like, earn some sort of award? And what award is that? The Fun With Golf Hall of Fame Award.
I see. He is one of the greats.
Awkward stance for Rory here.
Sit down. Ooh.
Ball was well below his feet, and that was just a good old-fashioned skull.
And I know they say when you get older, there are some changes to your body.
Right.
But ball's well beneath your feet?
Problem. Ooh. Tuck him into the sock.
Maybe get yourself a jock.
He's done it again. Gosh. He's done, this is his down, setting down cock, and he gets too narrow on the way down.
Oh, he's right back where he started.
Oh.
I don't even know what he said there, but I heard a word that didn't seem to make sense in the middle of that sentence.
Strong left-hand grip, straight line relationship between the shaft and the lead arm, snaps the whip. I'm not sure that anybody on tour cracks the whip better than Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, nobody's got that hip speed, have they?
Awkward silence.
Yep.
We'd rather you didn't talk about Rory's hip speed.
Yeah, so we just kind of open it up, take a little stab at it, and hope it comes out real slow. There's a stab, and that got a little hot coming out.
The cue will be having this come out soft enough. I'm going to get those left knuckles up to the air. You don't want to release this baby too hard.
He's pretty good, isn't he, with this?
He's way good with this.
If you're getting your knuckles to the air trying to control your release, 844-4WW-SHOW.
Little slider here. Has to be careful. Oh, we banged it in. Very nicely done.
Well, I can see the balls, but it might be a little nesty.
Nest.
Yeah, that's not. I don't like that description. If he's talking about what I think he's talking about. And finally, on this round of Fun With Golf Audio,
it might tend to wiggle inside the hole.
Yeah, about an inch longer than he wanted.
Yeah. Oh. Sizable. There it is. That's your Fun With Golf Audio. That will be available on the podcast. Just look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. And now, the great Cool Beans behind the scene has been tweeting out audio. So, one of the ways to just grab little segments here and there, including Fun With Golf Audio, is to follow us at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter. Lord willing, Bob Saget will be joining us soonly. We'll find out if he's ever gotten relief from a sprinkler hood.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So, a comedian and actor and author and et cetera, Bob Saget is going to be joining us here in a few minutes. And he's traveling around the country doing stand-up, among other things. The man may be the busiest person on the planet.
I see him everywhere.
on Instagram. He's at baseball games, and then he's doing stand-up in a different city. It's amazing.
So for those of you that are in different parts of the country, Bob Saget is in Charlotte this weekend. And last night, speaking of being busy, sang the national anthem at the Charlotte Knights baseball game.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner.
Seen Bob do a lot of stand-up, and he definitely sings and plays guitar in his act, but it never had occurred to me that I would probably at one point in my life see Bob Saget singing the national anthem at a professional sporting event. Anybody else fall into that same category?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Definitely.
And yet, I've nailed it. You know, not that I ever had a doubt, Bob, if you're listening, but it still was like one of those things where the two things came together that I didn't expect to come together, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think the first time I saw Bob's stand-up was the same way. The first time I saw him on Entourage hitting a bong, it was the same way. Bob Saget is like an onion. You peel it back, you're like, what is this?
Because so many people only know him from the very family-friendly stuff on TV, the funniest videos and the Full House.
And imagine you're me and you grew up with that. So how long have we known him now? 5 years?
Something like
that. Seems like our whole lives, right?
Right. Too long, for sure. So, I mean, what were we saying? Not long enough.
But it was the most surreal moment of my life. One of them, anyway. Here's Bob Saget.
So lots to talk about, including, I think I've seen this information correctly. Among other things, he is directing a documentary about a comedian that is one of the greats. And I hope that it's true. I hope this isn't just a rumor that's floating around on the internet, because I want to talk about that. There's so much to get to.
And thanks to Jeffrey on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, who's asking, hey, Bob Saget can sing, but can he sing backwards?
Let's find out. He just walked into the studio.
Hey. He's right behind me.
I was here for 10 minutes. Your assistant wasn't at the front.
We have an assistant?
Well, the lady, how are you?
Hi. I brushed my teeth.
Hi, Bob. I did, too. And my Twitter didn't work.
Hi, buddy.
They're touching each other, everybody. We're going all the way. We've known each other too long. I have their emails. There's a problem.
Yes.
Yeah, she wasn't here. What's her deal?
We'd like to make you wait, honestly.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean.
You shimmy under the gate?
It's a total power play, Bob.
I mean, felt that you were more important by waiting. I did the right thing to me. Right. My ego is smashed.
I'm going to do this like they do on talk shows where I sit above everybody.
Yes. Yeah, I think Letterman was the first that was a foot taller.
Yeah.
Did he really do that?
But I slouched down. I'm short-waisted in some ways, anyway. Hello. But then Johnny Carson was always level with you. You know, he was
so wait, hang on. Look, can we back it up? Was that a real thing? Did
it was higher. I don't think he'd like hearing that, but I know he's not listening right now. So
no one is.
No, he was also. I was on a show so many times. He was so gracious to me. So he could sit as tall as he wants because he was one of the kings of all of television forever. So. Yeah. But I'm happy to see you guys.
It's good to see you too, man. I'm really excited to see you.
It's been a while. I blew my voice out a little bit, at, you know, singing the anthem last night.
We were just talking about that.
And the Panthers won. The Knights won.
The Panthers may win tonight.
No, they're not going to win tonight. I'm going to go back and sing again. I'm going to go back and sing and go right to the Comedy Zone. That's my plug.
Yeah. Nice. So, well, let me do now. If you're somebody who's just joining us, you may not have caught some of this from last night.
Bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night.
That's a good place to stop.
You got it.
Josh Groban texted me and he said, you killed it. And he thinks, I think he meant you killed it forever. No, but I didn't go. I had one moment, one little gargle bobble because I got off the flight. So I was a little bit, my throat was in, I was in the room near the mascot, rehearsing. Ooh, so,
Homer.
And there's a little hole in the wall. So I saw everything.
Is he short-waisted as well?
Can't say anything about.
You saw Dragon Wang.
Mascots have no gender. There are no parts. There is nothing. They go to the doctor, and all the doctor says is cough, and then has a look of suspicion on his face. But it was really, really nice. Everybody was nice, and I did not go flat. I just wavered. I wobbled a little.
So, I mean, I knew...
My voice had turbulence, you know, halfway.
First of all, I heard you were going to sing it. I was like, I mean, because obviously I've seen your act. I know you sing a lot, but I didn't anticipate the anthem. And then I looked back and I saw you'd done it a couple times.
Yeah, I'd done it at the White Sox game, which was a parent team of the Knights. Mm-hmm. And I had played at the Angels, sang at the Angels game. They've asked me to throw out the first pitch, but I think I'm better off warbling on the anthem than watching the first pitch. You don't want to see a 6'4" man from TV throw underhand. You just don't.
No, I do.
No, well, yeah, you do. You actually do. That's the clip that would end. And people said to me, well, it's going to travel. I said, if I do well, no one's going to see it. If I mess it up, everybody's going to see it.
That's right. A fact. But who would think I'd rather sing the anthem than throw out a pitch?
Yeah, I'm not like a normal person. Well, I've been on Broadway before, not the street. I've actually been on Broadway in a show called The Drowsy Chaperone, which was a musical. And so it's I know how to do it. I have vocal, not I've had training, you know, whatever they say. Like a dog, and they rub my nose in it when I don't sing.
They take you outside.
But I have a bunch of new songs. Some of them are from my newest special, 0 to 60, which is, here's my joke, it's on Amazon Prime. And with two clicks, your hand by the button, I have a feeling. No, you're not worried. You never have to bleep anything I say, right?
No,
never. Before. With two clicks, you can get my special 0 to 60 and lotion. So with two clicks, so you can enjoy keeping your hands moist while you're watching it. Because you've got to lotion your body.
Right.
Or one hand.
Or just, well, it depends. I mean, if you're ambidextrous, you're just lucky.
Right.
That's a menage a trois, I think. That's that French.
It's not big enough to get two on there, Bob. I'm sorry.
I can't believe you have this book sitting here. I come here for relief and this and men that I've known for years, and this book is...
Why are you looking at me like I did it?
Well, why would you let this book be here?
Bob, because it's a conversation starter.
You better say what the title of the book is now.
Bill Cosby Fatherhood. Yeah. It should just say Hood.
It's a...
And I loved him. That's the thing. He's turning it over. He was an icon of mine. I was on The Tonight Show with him right before Johnny Carson left, and he was incredibly gracious.
Yeah.
And I didn't... it was just, you know, when you have somebody idolize, and then they... I get all my blue stuff done on stage. I don't do it in life. You know, you can bring a 17-year-old on my show, although you can't, can you?
No,
we got Mike Hall here. He's a good man. Mike Hall, sorry.
Mike Hall, such how a good, can I help you?
I'd like to buy a Val, but he's one of my friends for years, and you got to be 21, right? 18. Wow. What's the legal age of consent in Charlotte? I've spoken for.
Bob, why are you looking at me? I don't know.
You look the most perverted of anyone here. And you're sitting higher than me, which means you're in position for many things I want nothing to do with.
Same.
But it's sad that we're in a time where a lot of people are, this is apparently a guilty man, although we'll find out in the trial, but a lot of times when people...
He's guilty.
He's guilty.
Yeah, they're just waiting on sentencing.
Okay.
Yep.
He has to...
Well, he's got good grammar, so sentencing.
It's a sentencing joke.
Paragraphing is good. No, you don't have to laugh. You're just wondering, why did I say it? This is what's great about me. One time I was hosting America's Funniest Home Videos, and it had the home in it back then. It was not AFV. It was AFHV. And then
the good old days.
Jonathan Winters was the guest. So he was standing next to me. We had a lot of people on. Ronnie Dangerfield was a friend of mine. And name drop, picked that up. And
got it.
But Jonathan Winters, I said a joke like that. Exactly like that. And he looked at me and he went, "You can do much better than that."
You're better.
And he's right.
People say that to us every day.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, people are haters. There are people that...
No.
There's nothing wrong with puns. There's nothing wrong with... And when people go to a comedian, ba-dum-bump, that means that they're putting them down, but they're not coming up with something funny. All they're doing is criticizing, which... I guess if that makes them happy, that's their life and that's it. But I can't do negative anymore. If somebody tells me what you did was terrible, first thing, it's not true, because it's not. Like somebody said something and one of my kids, I said, they said this about me. And they went, well, Dad, you know what? And I can't repeat what they said, but they weren't happy about them. It was an expletive and then them, because you do what you do. You guys get a lot of tweets, right? You get negative stuff, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I get pictures of people's lower regions. I don't want to see that.
Liar.
Well, that's just Wilcox actually doing that.
Well, it's right in the name. And I can't make fun of it because of my last name.
Woody? Yeah,
Woody's, it's great. You guys together are a triple entendre.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And the judges' scores are. But I just love being back here. Are you guys going to come to the Comedy Zone?
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
And you can't because you got like a life and.
He doesn't like you.
No, he likes me.
Oh.
No, well, I've known him a long time. It's been a long time.
It has.
I was here, then I wasn't. How long have you been here?
Eight years. I went on vacation and name dropped you on another radio show.
Well done.
Yeah. And so that's how much I love you, Bob.
And
they're like, yeah, we know him too. And I was like, damn it.
Not like you do.
That's you, what
you
said I said.
Do you say that to everybody? Do you love us more?
No, I I love people that entertain people, especially now. So you guys are fun people to listen to. And you play political stuff. You play some stuff that goes on, but not a lot. You know, you really want to make people feel good. And that's what I want to do. I don't come in there and I'll have an audience that's half here and half there and you know, politically fall differently. I just want to bring everybody together and have a party and be as funny as I can.
Hold that thought, because
I can. I'm still talking.
I demand that you hold it.
I like my fiance says that. I wear the dog collar. I rub the lotion on its skin and does what it's told.
All right, there's more with Bob Saget coming up here in a second.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Bob Saget is here, and I have a theory, and I don't think we've talked about this in all the times that we've had you on.
That I'm Sasquatch.
No, but I would like to explore that idea a little bit more.
Well, I know why. I did an A&E television series, and we looked for Bigfoot, and they became their own show, the guys that we discovered. And I believe that a Bigfoot was hiding all the time because he had large hands and large feet, but everything else was not large. And so he didn't want people to see him. So it was Bigfoot, small unit, and he was just hiding behind trees. That's what I think. So that can't be me. There's no way I could double as big.
Let me write that down.
Yeah. Get that yellow highlighter.
Sounds like a fantastic movie, Bigfoot.
Well, it was a half hour on A&E. It was really strong. It's still, I think, on iTunes called Strange Days. Why am I plugging a show 10 years old? Anyway.
Because it's going to lead you to plug your current special, which is also out there as well.
I'm happy about that. That 0 to 60 has done really well, which was not a Netflix show. It was we did it a different way. I went to straight all Amazon Prime, and it went to of course iTunes, but then it went to all video on demand on every cable network on the earth. So it went, there is no cable, I mean, don't have to be English speaking in order to watch it, but I think you do, because I don't think you can understand that many wiener jokes.
Oh, Bob Saget wiener.
Right. That's a real good impression. You just lost four listeners.
I don't know what, I don't even know what
really good. That was. Don Rickles is on the show today.
You hockey puck.
Yeah. Oh, God, I loved him. He was such an influence in my life.
Just yesterday morning, right before the show, I was watching the Friars roast of then Governor Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Rickles.
Was it the Friars one, or was it the one where he was at, it was in the round. It was a big one.
No, it was the Friars one because we love the roasts, but then he was talking to then Governor Reagan and ripping on him, ripping on Dean Martin. And then he just latches onto this guy in the crowd and he starts roasting the guy in the crowd. And the entire dais is up there. Some of the biggest names in entertainment, just tears streaming down their face. And it's Don Rickles.
And he knows that it's probably something from his show of sorts. Cause he always had good insurance policies on jokes to make sure they would hit. And something like that, I'm sure that his first line was, what are you looking at? Positive. Cause I knew him really, really well.
Oh, but then he's like, I can't wait for after the show, the Secret Service or whatever these guys are. Come on, Jew boy. They'll see that joke again. And he's just, I'm ripping himself. And it was
giant influence. I got to direct him. I directed Dirty Work, the Norm Macdonald artist. The Lang movie, and it was Farley's last movie, and bless him. And I'll tell you something, Rickles was just, I ran all my film budget for the week in 3 hours because it wasn't digital then, it was 35 millimeter. And he just went, you're the only director I ever worked with, Saget, that let me do what I want to do. I said, I know, I'm going to get fired.
I've learned my lesson. Yeah.
So funny. So he's missed. He's 2 years gone now. It's, I think it's 2 years. I don't know. I just don't know. We took Barbara, his wife, out to dinner, John Stamos and I, and we had our way with her. And
oh.
Well, Don would always
before
say.
Before he was dead or after?
No, always after. Always after. You got to have respect.
Jeez, Chelsea.
But Don's standard joke would be that his wife takes off her bra and her head hits the sink. That was the joke. And he'd always do the sound effect with the microphone against his head. It was just beyond hilarious.
So you were roasted, too.
Yeah, I was roasted years ago, and it was one of the first, it was the most popular at the time, because it had, now they have gigantic exposure where Comedy Central's everywhere.
However, they're not as good now. And I love Jeff Ross, and I love
yeah, I
the
do
roast.
Too.
It's
He's
one
my
of my
buddy.
Favorite things.
I think the key to mine was I refused to do it unless I had my friends there. And John Stamos was the roast master, and it was Norm Macdonald and John Lovitz, but that's not a friend. But but Jeff Garland and Susie Essman and Gilbert and a lot of people that I, and Greg Giraldo, who you guys quoted on the Twitter,
yes.
And he said the meanest thing about me, and he was the first one up, and I was not prepared. And he said, you know, with that what pointy nose and those granny glasses, you look like the Vlasic pickle stork. And so
funny that you mentioned that.
Don't play it, please.
Genital wart on the. Of American culture. Seriously, who gives a about Bob Saget? With your long neck, pointy beak, and granny glasses, you're like the Vlasic pickle stork.
Such a good
Except
joke.
Instead of delivering babies, you're not funny.
Because the Vlasic pickle stork delivers babies. I mean, he broke it down. And I was talking to him all during that time. I said, you're going to be the meanest. What do I do? And then we were talking about hanging out. And wanted to. And then he was at the Improv one night, and he was single. And he said, I got a woman here that wants to talk to you. And she gets on the phone. She goes, hello? And she was a Russian lady that he'd met in the bar. And he said, she's a big, big fan. I said, oh, so you're a fan? Did you watch Full House in Russia? I don't know who you are. I don't know who I'm talking to. Give me the phone back to Greg. And he goes, isn't that funny? She has no idea who you are. And I gave her the phone. I went, that's so great. Thank you. Can't wait till the roast. It's going to be so much fun. But he was brilliant. And well, it's real sad. I don't like to see funny, great people leaving us. We want non-funny, crappy people not going. You don't wish that on anybody, because you think there might be some, you know, mystical religious thing that could happen to you. But basically, non-funny, evil people, I don't mind that much. I wouldn't hurt anyone ever. Except three people. No, I wouldn't. Someone in this room is the murderer. But I loved Greg so much.
Well, at the point you're making about the roast too, I think you know, for a roast to be good, there has to be underlying this idea that you guys really love each other.
Yeah, and that's not often.
It's not mean. The things that are said are mean-ish, but it's done in a way that you're like, I love you. And now I feel like the way they've moved with the roast, either out of necessity or whatever, it's a lot of people who don't know each other.
That's clearly the mistake that they're making. But the Bruce Willis roast just got the biggest ratings of all time. So, but there's also, the market has grown 100
right.
times.
Right.
We talked about it.
Yeah.
That's right. It was us.
I didn't see it. But I'm sure it had funny moments.
Well, part of the other problem is you said you just named off your friends from your roast, and they're all hilarious people.
And Jeff, of course, is my dear friend, and he was on my roast, Jeff Ross.
Jeff is fantastic, so Jeff was there, and then Nikki Glaser was there, who's also very funny.
But she doesn't know Bruce.
Well, but she was good, but then it's sort of a drop-off, and there's not a lot of comedians. I mean, I guess Dom Irera was there.
He's been a comedian a long time. He's
very
the first
funny.
Person that ever told me the Aristocrats joke, which I'd only heard once before I did it in that movie, and it should never be heard again. I mean, people run it out of what's the word?
Context.
Thanks. Out of consequence. Out of cream of mushroom soup. Fine. Nothing to worry about. I'm saying the anthem. Somebody I'm awake. Because everything's good. It's morning radio. Life is good.
Call 911.
But yeah. Actually, I answer that now.
Is that right?
I had it switched over with Verizon and AT&T.
Okay.
So you call 911 and I go, what city? And they go, yeah, we have an emergency. Yeah, it's Bob Saget. We've got a new show coming out. I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah.
Don't give them an idea, because they will sell that to 911.
Oh, my God. What a great number to get. Wouldn't that be horrible? But we were talking during the break, and probably Facebook Live, that we're all getting these fake phone calls now to ourselves, to our homes, and it's bad, where it all has the same prefix, but then just float it through some kind of thing, and there are people at the other end. And I answer the phone now, and I'm like, stop calling me. So they get a little scared. They think...
you think you scared them all?
That sounds like that would work, Bob.
I think they think I'm someone else, Liam Neeson or something.
I have a certain set of skills.
I kill people that call me with fake solicitations.
And clearly it's working because they continue to call you.
Yeah, so. They don't stop. Some people like it.
You got to talk to each one of them individually, right? They're not going to go to the cubicle next to them and be like, Bob Saget just told me stop.
Right.
Well, it's weird. They all have the same prefix, which, and we know the abbreviation of the word prefix. No, we don't, but it doesn't matter.
You know you can block those numbers, right, Bob?
I block them, but I've got so much to do all day. I've got like 10 of them a day.
He acts.
So I've got to change the number.
You're going to change your phone number?
I think so. I've had it.
I don't think it's going to help.
I know. They'll find you.
But he was promoting me. Let's go back to him.
Okay.
Okay.
And he really likes me.
You've got so much going on.
I'm blocking my number. Yeah. I say I try to help you, and then I sabotage my own plug.
That's right. We're trying to give you a plug, Bob. Stop talking over it.
Yep, that's true.
Directing again?
Yeah, and it's called Benjamin, and it'll be out, we think, later in the year. We're waiting for the distributor to tell us when.
I'm thinking something a little bit different.
I think I saw this on your website, that you're directing a movie about Martin Mull.
I'm directing a documentary with Kevin Bright as the producer. We're kind of co-directing, and Kevin Bright did Friends, and he's a very well-known guy. And Martin became a friend, and I wouldn't be doing comedy if it wasn't for Martin Mull. And if people don't know who Martin Mull is, they would know him from his acting, from Sabrina or from Roseanne years ago, the first one. And they would know him from a lot of things. He was in Clue, but he was a comedian who played guitar in comedy songs, and I saw him when I was 17 years old and in Philadelphia, and I just couldn't believe how good he was. Turns out, everything he did in his whole career was to pay for his painting. He is an artist, beyond an artist. I mean, he is, if you Google Martin Mull art.
Really?
He paints it all. It is just painted. It looks like photographs, some of it, but you could see it's all dysmorphia and weird, strange combinations of things, and it has many messages, but he says, you're the audience, you tell me what the message is. And a lot of well-known people have his art, so I've been interviewing people, Steve Martin and Eric Idle, of course, the genius from Monty Python, and I've become very friendly with Eric. Eric's, you know who Eric Idle is, right?
Absolutely. Of course.
I mean, he wrote, Always Look on the Bright Side of Life, which is his new book, actually. So here I am in a position where I'm younger than them, which is a miracle to me, because I'm 62. I didn't know I was younger than anybody, but he's amazing, Eric Idle, and he's so kind. I'm playing London in about a month and a half, and he's badgering his Twitter followers. You know, you get Bob Saget tickets or you're not good people. He's like been just... he's just brilliant, and because he likes me. He's so smart.
That makes us brilliant, too, because we like you, too.
Well, I like you, too. I was really excited that I was coming on here.
That has to be cool, learning stuff, I'm sure, about Martin Mull that you never knew before until you started down this path.
And the whole stem of the whole thing will be his art, because you won't believe it.
I'm looking at it now.
Can you believe it?
No, I don't.
It doesn't. It's ethereal. Some of it's very realistic. Some of it's a lot of use of different color and black and white, and they're not photographs.
That is not a photograph.
None of it's a photograph. He takes a photograph from like a Life magazine. He's caught in the 50s, and when it was a kinder, gentler time, but we just didn't know it was not. And he, because there wasn't all the access to, knowledge that we get on the news, which makes us want to turn off everything.
Right.
Yeah. Turn off the lights and the TV. I want to live in a well with a bobcat. But it's so much more. Bobcat Goldthwait.
I would live with Bobcat.
Oh, I would so. And his new series is fantastic. Have you seen it on FX?
No.
Oh, my God. It's monsters and, you have to look that up. Everything I say, you have to Google. I have no information. But I saw the premiere of it with Seth Green and... he's my friend.
By the way,
name
I'm going to
pick that up.
That's all I do. All I do is name drop. My show, if I run out of material, which is impossible, just 90 minutes of name dropping and tell long stories. Name out a celebrity. I'll tell you what my thoughts are. And I hate the word celebrity. I don't think it means anything. You're not a writer. You're not an actor. You're not an artist. You're not a radio person. You're just a celebrity. It's like cut a ribbon at a market. I don't know what you do.
I feel like you're the most famous person in the world.
I don't think so.
Or in the country. I'll take world out of it.
It could be. And there's a little bit of world knowledge. But when I go on my honeymoon, because you and I are going soon.
Please.
I'm going to countries that got the shows that I was on, but not quite. There are more people are watching Fuller House on Netflix around the world than they could watch Full House. Because like London only had it for 4 years. And in France, it was very big. It was Fête à la Maison, which means party in the house. But that just seems wrong. I mean, the premise is that mom has passed away.
Right.
That doesn't feel like a party.
Well, the French, right?
Yeah, maybe they're right. No, that's terrible. That was the Me Four generation. I just botched up. That's the problem with my comedy, too, is that I have I would like to say and believe that I have a really good heart because we're at iHeartMedia. So, but right. I also like to say irreverent stuff because I think completely the opposite. But you really got to be careful because so many people have been afflicted and affected
it's
by
changed
so many things.
A little bit.
So what you do has changed. You can say something irreverent, but then you're going, oh, wait a minute. Do I have to bail out of this? Do I have to tee it up? Or do I just not say it? And I think a lot of people would say, just don't say it because you're affecting our lives and things that have hurt us. But that's life. I mean, it's not getting any easier. I got three kids I worry about.
Right, right.
Because I'm their dad. But
just randomly picked three kids.
Oh, my God. Any kids. I don't know. I've got like 50 kids. I don't know.
That's
why I come back to Charlotte. Yeah.
Visit them.
You've
been
with name.
So many women in so many ways around the world.
Oh, in so many ways. It was like a duck and yo-yo. She didn't know what was going on. Now, we can't say that. That's the kind of stuff.
Yo-yo.
Well, you can go around the world. That's what made me think of it. That's one of the tricks of a duck and yo-yo.
That's correct.
Now, people don't know that. They think I'm saying something lascivious, but I'm not. I'm saying you can take a yo-yo and you hold it and you're able to hold it on another finger and then you spin it around the world. All I'm suggesting is that I did that back when I was doing Entourage to someone.
But, this is my favorite thing about Bob Saget is when he gets down into this hole that's constant. It's
hey, we're talking about women.
I imagine like
this
a little
is bad. Like please, somebody bleep me.
Like a mole underground, and you're digging into a tunnel, and then you come to a fork in the road, and you're trying to decide: do I go that way or do I go that way? And then you're like, I don't know.
You pick the right creature. I had to promote I promoted a book I wrote called Dirty Daddy. I believed you guys helped me promote it. Mm-hmm, I came on or I called or something. Wonderful happened, and John Oliver did my talk back. So this is before he had his wonderful HBO show that he does, and we just hit it off. He read the book. He said, "I'm not kidding you. This is the funniest thing I've ever written. I've ever read." Sorry. Okay, John Oliver wrote my book. So we're at the 92nd Street Y in New York, which I'm sure many people's ears perked up here in Charlotte. And 92nd Street Y. Let me get in my car and. And we were supposed to do 20 minutes of you talk first, and then you answer questions, and then you sign books. And it was about 1,000 people. And we like each other so much, we talked for like 90 minutes. And it was all about small animals. It was because if you watch his show on HBO, when he's trying to get out of a situation where he's dug a ditch, that, if you're not in a liberal mindset, he wants to please everyone somehow. But yet he wants to get his viewpoint out. He'll go right to a ferret. He'll go to a gerbil. He'll go to a hamster. He'll do so. That's equivalent to, and then just come up with a parakeet trying to throw himself into a screen. And you're like, wait, that has nothing to do with this government you just bashed tremendously. I don't even mean ours. And so we talked for like 90 minutes and had a whole chapter of me as I get older. I would go on non sequiturs, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Instead of a mole, it would be like, I'm worried when I get older, that there's going to be some kind of leakage. And I would trip on it on the steps. But it went on for 4 pages. And now I would fall down the steps and I'd be hurt and there'd be leakage on my shoes. And how would I explain that to the paramedics? And he just said, I can't believe you just keep going. That's it. And he read like 2 pages of it. And the audience was laughing, but they were in shock because it's free association is a really fun thing to do. Norm MacDonald did that in his book. I don't know if you read it, but it's quite an anti-book. Like he'll say something that's completely the opposite of how he feels. And that's the joke. I mean, the point of some things I say on stage, and I have a lot of new material, which is why I wanted to come back to the Comedy Zone. I've been doing more clubs this past 3-4 months. I asked the favors, and people were kind enough to move some schedules around and let me come in. And then I go on a real, not a real tour. This is a tour. I'm here. But I'll be on a theater tour. I think all of the book. What happens in April? Spring.
Yeah.
When's
job,
Memorial
That's
Day?
When the moles come out somebody, and they see the sunlight, and then they go back underground.
Right. They crawl up my pant leg, and I call 911 and say, "Take your time."
There's going to be some leakage when you get here.
Oh my God! It starts with leakage and ends with just I don't know.
Yeah,
cotton balls. Peter Rabbit had those.
All right. I'm calling it. It's over.
That's it. I'm done.
We're done. Yeah.
I got to go because I was late because they wouldn't let me in because your assistant this morning decided to get 9 coffees.
Well, we knew the cotton ball joke was coming, so somehow we'll avoid it. And then it still happened.
Well, you know, cotton, though, is very important. Because if your ears are bleeding, you put it in there.
I just want to point out behind you, we have a John Oliver Award that we had won right there, that little glass thing.
Yes.
It's not an official John Oliver Award. It's just something that a listener made for us. But we won a John Oliver Award.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the fake award.
Thank you.
But I adore him. I just think he does things in a way that no one has. I mean, it's just very wonderful. And
yes.
And I adore British people, and I'll be saying that until my gig is over in September.
Woody didn't mention that it's called the John Oliver Award for Most Chlamydia. And it has a koala bear on it.
That's such a long story.
I'm not going to get into the story.
I think it's wonderful because it's most. I mean, it's not least.
Right.
You know, so you beat the people that had less chlamydia.
Right, that's the mild chlamydia people.
Chlamydia, if I have a child again, will be the name of my daughter. because I want it to be catchy. Now, why would someone criticize that joke? It's a groaner. A groaner gives a person time in their car right now to take a breath, concentrate on their driving,
right.
Make the left properly, don't hit the person in front of you because you're on your phone.
Yep. Change the channel.
If it was a funny, funny joke and you laughed out loud, I could put your life at risk.
that's what we base this show on.
Safety first.
It's just a lot of groaning.
Right.
I'd like to do that with 3 people in the morning.
Bob Saget, you can follow him at Bob Saget on Twitter. There's bobsaget.com. He'll probably come to your home.
I got the Instagram. I got the Facebook. I got whatever you need. I still have a MySpace page.
After
3 years, I went on it, and I had 50,000 people. I went, is anybody still on here? And that was all I said.
Hello.
I just insulted the the hookers that are on there. I understand it's music hookers. People and ladies of the evening.
Right.
I think that's the way they marketed it, so job well done.
So come to the show. You're all invited.
I'll be there.
Mike Hall will hook you all up. We're going to give out his cell number right now for all the listeners.
Right.
Mike Hall, how can I help you?
It's called Paoli. No, Paola.
Or Paoli.
Peyote is different.
That's a different thing. But Paola was back in the old days. Hey, you want to come to my show? Thanks for the promo. Here's a refrigerator. You know, that's what it used to be. And now it's against the law.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
You can't take anything I give you.
Mm-hmm. We have to buy refrigerators now.
Well, I'm going to have to give the chlamydia back.
Well, it's sad because I had a whole diaper full for you. Not mine.
Safety first.
He's preventing you from getting into a wreck.
Now, can you get in trouble if you find an old diaper? And I think you should say goodbye to me.
You won't stop. No, we're letting you go.
No, I can't. I can't stop. I love you guys. So that's the way it is. And lady.
That's Bob Saget. And he'll be back like in a couple hours probably.
And Wilcox Show.
Well, it was a lot of fun with Bob Saget, and I hope we all enjoyed it because we may now lose our jobs for going way too long on a segment.
Like 4 times.
But you know what?
The
record breaking.
But we went out the way we were doing what we love. So there is that. Thanks to those of you on social media. Ariana, I believe. Ariana on Twitter. Thank you, Bob Saget. I actually sat in my car after I arrived at work to listen to you on the Woody and Wilcox Show. And that chlamydia joke was not a groaner. I actually laughed out loud. So make a note, Chels. More chlamydia jokes, please, to keep Ariana in her car. And that's safe, too, right? Safety first was how we decided that should work. Mm-hmm. So if you missed that, we did Facebook Live the whole thing, and it's up right now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. We got to take another break because, you know, we're like hours behind. But you know what? eventually this will work itself out.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Social media, right? Who's with me?
Right.
Yeah. We live streamed Bob Saget in the studio here a little earlier on the show, and you can catch that now on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. And of course, there's our Twitter and Instagram, which are both at Woody and Wilcox. So feel free to join in that way to the show. But there's another form of interaction that you can have with the show, and that's our voicemail. And we call it the Fez line just because the first three numbers spell out Fez. It's 704-FEZ-3200. And apparently we need to be maybe a little bit more careful with our show in general because it's having an effect that maybe we weren't aware of.
So your show almost got me in trouble again. Went to a class for work, and just a big classroom, like 40 of us sitting there, guy teaching about positive associate relations, whatever, some nonsense. And so he's trying to tell a little bit about himself. He's like, my name's Chris. I'm from Pittsburgh, and big Steelers fan. Anybody else a Steelers fan in here? And everybody was quiet. Nobody raised their hand or anything. I gave it a couple seconds, and I was like, I guess I forgot what environment I was in and slipped up and was like, I'm a big fan of Cooch. I hear they're big fans of Cooch in Pittsburgh. And he kind of paused, looked at me, was like, excuse me? Said, crap. The golfer from Pittsburgh, his last name is Kutcher. They call him Cooch. Yeah. You a fan of him? I watch a lot of golf. Sure. Yeah. So we kind of brushed that off and kept moving along with the class. That was interesting. Anyway, Woody's an idiot.
When you don't have a point, you can't just end a sentence with saying that I'm an idiot.
Yes, you can.
I disagree
and
with that.
And he did have a point. So.
They love their cooch here in Pittsburgh.
And he's not wrong, by the way. Mm-hmm. They do love their cooch in Pittsburgh.
Yes, cooch.
Right?
That's a cooch.
Exactly.
Cooch.
Right.
Cooch.
Right.
Cooch.
Yes.
Cooch.
Yes. Cooch. Right. And I don't think any of us knew this. Now, you may already be at work or on your way to work. If you're driving right now, I suggest a hard U-turn because today's a pretty special day, and you don't want to be at work when you're celebrating.
1 year ago today, you guys went on and on and on and on about how Bonnie Tyler was singing on the cruise for the Total Eclipse. That was 1 year ago today. Bye.
Wow. Why does he know that?
Because it made such an impact on his life. He's like, I'm never listening to this show again.
Remember that one time there was going to be a full eclipse in parts of this country, and Bonnie Tyler was going to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart on a cruise.
Those things happened.
Yep. And apparently it was a year ago today.
That's crazy.
All I know. So if you have other glowing words of wisdom and or you just want to call Woody an idiot, the Fez line is there for you at 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
You know, appreciate the excessive use of the Fez line, you know, because it's there anytime you want it. You don't have to wait for us or Cool Beans to answer the phone. You've got a thought. You have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
God forbid you have a joke. 704-FEZ-3200 is the way that you can get through. But sometimes really important questions come through, and this happens to be one of them.
Hi guys, my dad listens to your show every day when he wants to when he's dropping me off at school. I want to know why Woody's such an idiot.
Valid question, by the way.
And do we have caller ID on that? Because I'd like to call Child Protective Services.
The question would be, how much time do you have for the answer? Because we may need to pack a lunch.
You are seriously warping that child's mind.
704-FEZ-3200 is the way that you can get through. And speaking of funny things that kids say, if you missed the video that we put up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page earlier this morning, it's also on Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox. You're going to want to check that out, too. We've gotten a bit behind due to our extensive visit from Mr. Bob Saget, which you can see the full on the air and the behind the scenes on our Facebook page, the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, because we Facebook lived for about an hour, give or take. So that's up there now, too. We're also going to figure out what we learned today on the show and some of our fun with golf audio clips on the way, too. So
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Earlier on the show, comedian Bob Saget was on, and it was great to catch up with him, always doing some interesting things, because I think everybody, I said to him at the time, you're the most famous person in America. And I was only kind of joking, because I was, for some reason this morning, and I don't know why I'm saying this out loud, but while I was in the shower, I was thinking about the fact that Bob Saget was going to be on today. And, yes. I mean, I just, that's where I do my best thinking.
Let's
that's
just all that say is. One part of Wilcox is extra clean.
You know what? Would you stop?
I don't like this.
So I was just like, I don't think, and we've had a ton of incredibly funny or successful or whatever you want to call it, people on the show over the course of years, but I bet you no one who across the board is more famous than Bob Saget. And I bet you can't think of one. And I think because it crosses all genres, because some people know him from America's Funniest Home Videos. A lot of people know him from Full House. And these are people who are all different ages. And then people know him from stand-up, which is a whole different group. And then he's directed all these movies.
Entourage.
If you watch his social media, it's literally anybody and everybody. Everybody know. You could, I don't mean like he's everybody's favorite or anything. I just mean if you go Bob Saget, everybody goes, yes, I know who that is.
As far as being well-known.
And yeah, don't you think?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Name anybody that we've ever had on the show who's more famous than Bob Saget.
I'm trying, but I think you're right.
You know, and Tom Arnold is out there, but not anywhere near Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And we've had a ton of great people from Saturday Night Live.
JJ.
Jimmy Walker from Good Times. Nope. Not the same, though, I don't think. Because that's one era. So if you're over a certain age, you do know Jimmy Walker. But under a certain age, you don't. My kids wanted to meet Bob Saget. Joe's 11.
Was that because of Fuller House?
Yeah.
Bringing in a whole...
And Full House. They watched the reruns. My kids didn't want to meet Jimmy Walker. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
Your kids have horrible taste. I'm sorry.
That goes without saying. The apple and the tree and something about it falling. So if you missed that, the entire chat that we had on and off the air with Bob is up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. If you're in the Carolinas, he's going to be at the Comedy Zone tonight and tomorrow night. Very funny.
He's awesome. Stand-up.
I'm going to be at the early show tonight, so that's going to be fun, too. What did we learn today? You know, a lot. I learned not to mention that I was thinking of Bob Saget in the shower, but there was a lot of other stuff, and we'll cover that next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What did we learn today on the Woody and Wilcox Show?
Nothing.
Not true. We got to have some fun with golf audio.
And that is how he wants to be remembered. Jimmy and everybody, he lights up a room. He's a big fella, a big unit, and just a fun-loving guy that we all love so much.
He could be going with a semi-explosion. He could be trying to get relief from a sprinkler head.
We learned that we forgot to ask Bob Saget if he's ever gotten relief from a sprinkler head. See that entire Bob Saget chat on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page as we did the Facebook Live behind the scenes and on the air. The podcast, of course, also available. We posted a bunch of videos on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page as well and on Twitter, including the kid who I don't really know, but it's made its way around the internet and we thought it was fun. The kid who thinks his dad is a fart machine or works as a fart machine or something.
You're a good fart machine today.
You'll be a good fart machine today.
Don't go to work and be a good fart machine at work.
That's what I do all day.
Kids, boy, are they dumb.
Keep in mind what we do for a living. If that kid was saying it to us, it makes sense.
Let's see. Oh, well, of course, yesterday after the show, we learned that Aretha Franklin sadly had passed away. However, it did lead to something that I'm going to label, I guess, officially as interesting. Share the headline with you. Virginia man shot after argument over Aretha Franklin. So not only do we have the tragedy of Aretha Franklin passing away, but then apparently two guys got into an argument about whether Halle Berry had ever played Aretha Franklin in a movie. And one of them ended up getting shot. Very reminiscent of another true story where two guys argued over how tall James Brown was. And they both ended up killing each other.
Who won that argument, by the way?
As made famous, by the way, by comedian Tom Segura in his short film, 9 Inches. Tweeted that out, too, but if you haven't seen it, you must watch that. I've already tweeted at Tom to see if he's going to make a new film about this Aretha Franklin thing. He won't respond, but I feel like at least I did my duty. Sadly, we learned that Dexter, the original emotional support peacock, has passed away, too. Probably only a matter of time until two guys kill each other arguing about that. And, of course, as mentioned, we had Bob Saget on today. Always fantastic. Check him out at Bob Saget on Twitter to find out when he's going to be near you. If you're in the Carolinas, he's in Charlotte tonight and tomorrow. And it also, among other things, allowed us to play the clip of Greg Giraldo roasting Bob Saget from years ago.
Bob, you are a genital wart on the of American culture. Seriously, who gives a about Bob Saget? With your long neck, pointy beak, and granny glasses, you're like the Vlasic pickle stork. Except instead of delivering babies, you're not funny.
Greg Giraldo, may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Anything else you missed, you'll find it on the podcast, Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Also, now we tweet out segments as the show goes. So thanks to Cool Beans for doing that. At Woody and Wilcox, the way to follow along on Twitter. Have a great weekend. We'll see if we still have a gig when we come back on Monday. Not sure what the odds are in Vegas. Intern Dave, anything you want to add to the show today?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't, think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very, ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.